You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome everyone back to the post-game broadcast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network, and I'm coming to you after UCLA's exhibition win over NC Central. Not too many different ways to talk about this one. UCLA did exactly what it should do against a team from the FCS and blew them out. It was, I would say, even probably more of a blowout than last year's. Alabama State kind of made it look a little bit funkier for a while. NC Central, this was, I think it was 21-0 within the first 5 minutes, first 8 minutes. It was just really an exhibition of basically UCLA's entire roster. We saw a lot of guys that we don't usually see. We saw five entirely different quarterbacks. Dante Moore in the early going made some, again, just some wow throws. And it wasn't even like he was lasering the ball. Just when you have a good feel for a defense and you're really accurate, you don't really have to worry about lasering it in too much. Like that, the one to, I think it was Cam Brown on the little crosser. He could have thrown that underhanded and it would have gotten there. Some of that, though, was the NC Central just not being equipped to handle UCLA's receiving core. It became a laugher very, very early because each of UCLA's main running backs completely outclassed every defender they were going against. I mean, Carson Steele was just, he was running past guys in a way we haven't seen in the first two games. Matching up a guy like Sturdivant against any FCS cornerback is going to be a mismatch. And I thought, UCLA showed some good decorum in this game by not over-exploiting those situations. You know, they got their 45 by half, and then they were pretty much tapping the brakes even throughout that second quarter. They could have scored 100 if they wanted to. Dante Moore played, I think, the first three drives, then he went out for a little bit, came back in for one more drive. Colin Schley played for a while. Ethan Garbers, I think, had just one drive. And then we saw two drives of Chase Griffin and one for Justin Martin. Moore was pretty much what we've seen, throwing accurately, making the right decisions. Generally no real complaints there. Colin Schley, I thought, was interesting for everyone. That one... So first, amazing touchdown, the zone read to the edge, flashed his speed, and then he had that other one on the QB sneak. So I think that's an asset that plays. Like, I think that one plays across different opponents that UCLA might play. The thing I don't know, and the thing that this didn't give me any good feelings about, is whether you can actually use him in your base offense, whether he's a true backup or if he's a package guy, because... he made one of four throws, but even the connection with Josiah Norwood, he threw that through a referee. The referee had to duck to make that ball go the right way. And he dirted a ball on a swing pass, and then he also lasered a pick over the middle. So I that's the one where I think it's sort of a weird situation where if Dante Moore has to leave a game for a while, right? Colin Schley is your better runner for sure, and he might be the guy that you're more inclined to play when you have more, you know, as kind of a change of pace for Moore. But I think the true backup to Dante Moore should still be Ethan Garbers, because I think Ethan Garbers, you're probably not getting the spectacular plays that Moore puts together, but I think you're getting reasonable accuracy on throws, you know, 10, 15 yards and in. And I don't think Schley would provide that. And yeah, it's a small sample size, but I'm basing that off of spring too. And I thought this was a good indication for people who haven't watched a lot of practice, what we were talking about in the spring with Schley, where it's just kind of a, he's got a cannon, but you don't always know where it's going. The running back room was, I think, yeah, finished. So Adkins went just under at the very end. But up until his last carry, I think, every single running back, every single scholarship running back who got a carry in this game was over 10 yards per carry. They all scored touchdowns. Anthony Adkins ended up being the leading ball carrier. It was really two big runs for him and then a lot of kind of scuffling around the line of scrimmage. But those two big runs were pretty huge. Carson Steele was really good. TJ Harden had four, like, pretty much nothing runs, and then he broke that 62-yarder. Very boom or bust today for him. And then Colson Yankoff ran well in his time. Again, how much can you take from it? I don't know. I mean, I do know. Not much. We've seen Steele and Harden do this stuff, so that translates. I don't know if Adkins and Yankoff translate it anywhere close to this level. Adkins... eyeballing him, when he can get his pads straight and he can run into guys, he's got some power. He looked slower in this game than I saw him towards the end of spring ball, so I don't know if he was slowed up by something, but he needs to add a little bit of a burst, I think, if he's going to be like what you would consider a true third string running back, where he's actually playing in like first halves of games. And we'll see with the number of plays UCLA has been running this year, whether that even ends up being a factor. Yankoff, you know, looks about the same as he always does. Really tenacious, fighting for a lot of yards, but you're always concerned because he's such a tall guy, you know, whether that ball is going to come out when he's fighting for yards. But Steele and Harden were really good. Talked about the receiving core. No complaints. We saw more Cam Brown, he was targeted, was the leading receiver, Sturdivant. Kyle Ford had that one unfortunate drop where, you know, I think it was a very tough catch. He had to adjust back and bring his hands over to the right. But, you know, it's the kind of catch with limited opportunities that you'd really like to make. But other than that, I mean, UCLA really didn't throw the ball after, I don't know, halftime. And really without Dante Moore in the game, they didn't throw the ball much at all. Defensively... again, I mean, take whatever you want from the game. There were some interesting notes. All right, first, offensively, an interesting note is that Siali Tupaki played a ton at left guard. Spencer Holstead did not appear to be hurt because he played, but Tupaki was the starter at left guard. So that was interesting. I thought he played pretty well, shaking the rust off from a long period of time out. And then on the defensive end, Devin Kirkwood didn't start. It was Jalen Davies and John Humphrey at the starting corner positions. And that was interesting. Kirkwood did play as well, so it wasn't as if he was out with an injury. So these are some moves that are happening in real time that I think are just kind of interesting, because you would say offensive line generally hadn't played poorly. Holstage was maybe the weak link so far, making that move this early, it's a good sign. And then Devin Kirkwood had played kind of poorly and had been the weak link for the cornerbacks. So, you know, seeing like no longer a continued emphasis on just playing the same guys over and over and over again, but instead actually making a move that... you know, could potentially pay off here pretty quickly when the competition gets a little bit stiffer. So that was interesting. That was very cool to see those kinds of moves get made. I thought the cornerbacks generally played better, but again, what if anything can you take from a game like this? Yeah, I mean, standouts defensively, that Leatu Latu pick was really cool. And it was good to see him play after he clearly suffered some sort of knee injury last week. He had that big wrap on his knee in this one. Gabriel Murphy, I thought, played really well. The defensive front generally did really well. You know, I think towards the end of the game, NC Central started to get loose a little bit more running the ball. But I think in the first 13 carries, they had 37 total yards. So that's pretty good. They also started to throw the ball again, but that was, again, pretty late in the game. Early on, it was, I think they had 26 total yards for a long stretch of the game passing. So, you know, I mean, the defense did what it's supposed to do against a team like this. I'm not sure how else to say it. I mean, some young guys who stood out, who we probably won't see a whole lot of again, but Donovan Palat, yeah. Give me more of that. Liked watching that. You know, frankly, Kanye Clark, the true freshman walk-on corner, had a couple of moments. That one TFL was really nice and wrapped up the feet and brought him down. That was cool to see. Not sure what else really. I mean, you know, there was just a heavy rotation of guys playing throughout the game, so it was you know, I mean, it's like talking about a practice. It's just hard to know how any of this translates. And in practice, it's because you've got UCLA's offense going against UCLA's defense, so it's hard to know, you know, where's the give. Like, is it the offense is so good, or is it the defense is so bad, or vice versa? And this is kind of similar because it's against such an overmatched opponent that you're just like, I don't know. But the things we've seen through the first two games were certainly not disproven in this one. The defensive front played really well. I think, you know, through three games, we can say they've been pretty good. The linebackers played pretty well. And I would say with Kirkwood going to the bench to start the game, I didn't see any real issues in the corners. Now, of course, that's also in part because it was NC Central. But, yeah, beyond that, I don't really know what else to take from a game like this. You know, it's the last FCS on the schedule going forward. I would, you know, it was a nice experience, I think, for UCLA, given the parameters, given the fact that Michigan canceled the series, to get this on the books, doing it with HBCUs, I thought was really cool. I don't think UCLA should do the FCS game again. It's one thing to do this in SEC country, but even in SEC country, guys lose interest really quickly, and fans lose interest really quickly. In the Pac-12, I mean, with UCLA's, you know, I won't say, I will say like a little bit more fickle fan base in terms of whether or not they're paying attention. Having one of the 12 games be one that it's actually kind of painful to pay attention to, you know, not ideal. So I think going forward, maybe make this the last one and just kind of a one-off situation where it had to be done. But I don't think this should be a plan going forward for UCLA. But anyway, NC Central 7, UCLA 59. And now the Bruins move on to conference play to take on a Utah team that still doesn't have Cam Rising as of this week, and struggled a little bit more with their FCS opponent this week. So, should be an interesting game, and we will talk more about it later this week. All right, everyone have a good night.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.